So students, after understanding the demand and elasticity of demand, we would now like to look at the supply side of the market. And with that, we will be entering into the other side of the market. Till now we were discussing about demand, consumer behavior. Let us now understand how a seller makes the choices with respect to the amount of output he needs to sell. And that is our chapter number 6, Fundamentals of Supply. This chapter will take us to the understanding of producer behavior. A producer has full control over the resources that has to be used in the production process in order to get the desired output. Production will determine the output, and from the output, the amount of stock which will be released in the market. From the output, the amount of stock that will be released in the market is determined as, or is termed as, supply. So let's understand how the seller looks at the market and determines the supply for his product. We will first begin with the concept of supply. Many a times when you think of supply, you say output, production. Production is supply. But in economics, the economists say that supply refers to the ability and willingness of the seller to supply a desired quantity of output at a given time for a given price. So if you just concentrate here, we say supply refers to the various amounts of a good which the sellers are willing and able to sell at any given price per unit of time. So the most important variables are time and price. And at a given time, at a given price, how much the sellers are able, that is ability of the seller, which totally depends on many factors, and the willingness of the seller will actually determine the actual amount of stock that will enter the market as supply. Now we have to really understand that why a seller's willingness and ability gets affected, and that altogether affects the supply. So we go ahead to understand determinants of supply. Here we will understand all the factors which will directly or indirectly increase the ability as well as the willingness of the seller to supply their desired output. Because definitely once production is undertaken, the objective of the producer is to sell. But before the products reach the market, the willingness of the seller is very important. So let's look at the next concept, determinants of supply. Here the very first determinant is price of the commodity. Sellers are always positively motivated towards the variable price. They know that whenever the prices increase, they will get more revenue. They will earn more revenue. And therefore, price and quantity supplied are directly related. Higher the price, higher the quantity supplied. So there's a direct relation between price of a commodity and the quantity or the units that the seller wants to supply. So after understanding the first factor or determinant of supply, we move to the next, which is called as price of other commodities. Imagine a company is making two-wheelers and it finds that there's a rise in market demand for four-wheelers. What happens? The companies will definitely try to diversify its resources for the production and definitely increase supply of four-wheelers. So when the price of some other commodity is rising faster, the sellers will always be motivated to divert their resources for increasing the production, output and supply of that commodity whose prices are rising in the market at a faster rate. So what do you find over here? That the seller's ability to supply will totally depend on the price of the product and also the price of some other related product. So if a company is making two-wheelers, or let's say it's just making an ordinary color television set, and it finds that there is a higher market, you can say, demand for LCDs and modern technology products, then definitely the seller will try to find more profits in other commodities and try to shift the resource. So now the ability to supply the two-wheelers or the willingness to supply two-wheelers will come down because price of other commodities have been a positive factor in increasing the supply. So again, there is a direct relation. The third variable is cost. Every resource that is used in the production process incurs a cost, termed as production cost. Production cost is the cost of inputs used in the production process. Whenever the firms find that the cost of producing a product is higher, the sellers are demotivated to increase the production, because they find that it is very expensive to manufacture the product and it will be even more difficult to sell it at a higher price if there are other competitors. Look at China. China has captured the world market and most of the developing countries just because they have managed to bring down their production cost and they are able to offer low price products to the consumers. And this is the way in which they are fast penetrating into the world market. When I talk of cost, you find that's a very, very strong factor. Here we are discussing again on the next, which is goals of the producer. It finds that most of the companies, managers are interested in looking at the interest of the society. That is what the customer wants. A particular change of design, a change of fashion, and accordingly the market sales gets affected. So many a times the sellers and the company's objectives keep varying. We have short-term objectives and long-term. Short-term objectives deal with immediate capturing of the market, winning customer loyalty. So accordingly, the sellers will be able and willing to supply even at lower price but better quality products. But when they want to maximize profits, they will accordingly wait for the market prices to go up and increase the supply. So it's very important for us to know what the objectives of the seller are. Is it sales maximization? Is it profit maximization? Is it customer quality? What? Technology and cost are both related. When you talk of technology, better and better technological improvements, more innovations, more number of products coming into the market. It has a direct impact on the production and the supply. In fact, companies which have sophisticated technology are always one step higher and ahead of competitors in mass production. So definitely the supply is higher. It is going to be large, irrespective of the price. Because better the technology, definitely mass production and large volume of sales can be generated in the market. When we talk of cost, I had already discussed with you that cost and supply are inversely related. In fact, this is a variable which is inversely related. Till now, if you have studied price, you have studied price of other commodities, technology, they are all directly related. But when we talk of cost, lower the cost, higher the supply. So the capability and the willingness of the seller increases. Availability of raw materials. It's very, very important. You'll find that when countries are waging a war, there is always an increase in the production of defense goods. And somewhere, the production of civilian goods goes down. Because maximum resources are diversified for defense and military purposes. So, availability of raw material plays a very important role in the ability of the sellers to produce and supply the products in the market. If the workers go on strike, if the power supply doesn't come, then the sellers will be incapable of increasing the supply even if the market prices are rising. So here, availability of raw materials become a major bottleneck or a block for the seller's ability to dispatch the products in the market or increase the production with the changing market time. This may also be one of the reasons why companies dealing with natural resources and mineral exploration of minerals have always concentrated to set up plants very near to the availability of resources. You will also see that in most of the construction projects, the local labor is the best resource that the company tries to make use of. One, they will be locally available. And second, it will also be cost effective for the company. The next variable is climate and forces of nature. Agriculturist, totally depending on monsoon. And when we talk about agriculturist, we all know that the ability of the farmers to increase the output of food grains totally depends on availability of resource and climatic conditions. If we have a bad monsoon like we had this year, we definitely know that it is going to affect the agricultural output. And that will definitely affect the supply of agricultural crops. Many a times when we go to the market and we ask the sellers that what is the reason behind such a high price of vegetables and fruits, the prices are not coming down even with the change of climate. You know, every fruit has a season. And in that season, the prices of those fruits are comparatively less. Season fruit. So, when we discuss about the variable climate, we find that farmers totally depend on climatic conditions. And when you discuss about this, you realize that yes, the availability of food grains, essential fruits, is directly influenced by climate. A bad monsoon, definitely a decrease in the availability of essential fruits and food grains. So climatic conditions, no doubt, we don't have any control over the natural calamities and weather and nature changes. But yes, our government has tried its level best to adopt multiple new techniques of farming so that climate does not have as much effect on agricultural output as it used to be years back. But we can't ignore the fact that climatic changes definitely affect the supply. So it has a direct impact. The next variable is time element. When you discuss of time element, we divide time into two categories. One is the short period and other is the long period. In the short period, supply cannot be changed. We will be discussing this in the end. Associating the supply with time is a wonderful work of Alfred Marshall. He has said that time plays a very important role in influencing the ability of the seller to increase the supply or not. The next factor is transport facilities. Better infrastructure in any country will always boost business. We all know that. So, if a country has a good transport connectivity, definitely more trade and more business takes place. So, transport has a direct impact on the market supply. The next variable is taxation and subsidy. Whenever government imposes a tax, it is considered as a very demotivating factor for the producer class. And subsidy is always taken as a positive variable. Government in India is providing lot of subsidies to our farmers so that they are encouraged to increase the supply. Similarly, when we discuss about tax, tax concessions can be given by the government to increase the supply of certain products. And exactly that's what government is doing by developing special economic zones. These are areas which are decided by the government for setting up export firms, and all companies who are located in the special economic zones, they will be given lot of concessions from the government. Cheaper availability of raw materials to electricity, subsidies, tax exemptions. So that is a direct variable to influence supply. You know why smuggling takes place? It is one of the demotivating factor of tax to evade tax. Products are sold without legal taxation rules. And actual market supply gets affected because there is an illegal market which is parallelly moving around in the economy. The next factor is expectation regarding future prices. When you talk about expectation regarding future prices, most of our seller class are able, but they are not willing to supply. The reason why they are not willing to supply is when they see that the market price is low, very less, they are not interested in releasing the stock, because they are aware that when the season comes or when the prices go up, they have higher profit margins. So when a seller has a expectation that in future prices will rise, they will prefer to speculate and hold the commodities. So current supply will become less. This is another variable which has an inverse relation with supply. So these are all the various determinants of supply. We have seen that there are not just one variable price, but many variables which affect supply and they determine supply. And so we say supply is a function of these variables. How much the seller will be able and willing to supply will be affected by all these variables. And to understand it, we will make use of a function. A function is nothing but arrangement of supply and the variables. As you can see in this slide, quantity supplied is on the x-axis. I mean, it's on the left-hand side. X is the product. So, quantity of x supplied is equal to f. F stands for function. F stands for interrelation. Functional relation with all these other variables. P stands for price of X. P1 stands for price of other commodities. C stands for cost. G, goals. and so on. You can just take the first alphabet of the determinant and write it in the bracket. Against that, you can write a letter F, put an equal to sign and say, so quantity supplied is functionally depending on all these variables. Some of these variables are within the control of a seller and some are beyond his control. So we call them as exogenous, endogenous variables. Exogenous, outside the control of the seller. Endogenous, within the control of the seller. So quantity supplied is functionally depending on all these variables. From these, we will pick up the first one. Because we are interested in the seller's ability and willingness to supply. So we will freeze all the other variables. When we freeze all the other variables, we call it as ceteris paribus. Other things remaining constant. Assume, it's an assumption. Why we take this assumption? Why we create a unreal situation? Because we want to only study the relation between supply and price. So if you see, quantity supplied is equal to F of price. So price and quantity supplied, we are only trying to study both. That's what I was talking about, the current slide. Other things that must remain the same are all your determinants. Price, goals, weather conditions, transport facilities, everything. And from that, we pick up only the first variable, which is price. So we say, other things remaining the same, quantity supplied of commodity X is directly related to its price. So quantity supplied functionally depends on price in a direct manner. In other words, the relation between price and quantity supplied is direct, conditional. All these things have to be freezed. This will take us to the supply curve. Look at this diagram. On y-axis, we have measured price. And on x-axis, we have measured quantity supplied. So what you find, students, that as the price is increasing, the quantity supplied is also increasing. I'm not talking about what proportion. I am only looking at the direction. So the direction in which price is moving and the direction in which supply is moving is direct. So supply is directly influenced by price. Sellers will be able and willing to supply more and more at higher and higher prices. This type of upward moving slope or upward moving supply curve, we say, is having a positive slope. Now, this direct relation between price and supply has been found to be not valid in case of labor. This is a case where our supply, law of supply or direct relation between supply and price is ignored. We call it as backward bending supply curve of labor. It is an exceptional case. If you carefully look at this graph, it is going upwards, like the supply graph, up to a certain limit. That limit is 12. And after that, it takes a backward turn. So what it means? It means that in case of supply of labor hours, number of hours you work at a given wage rate, will be directly proportional only up to a certain limit. That means you may be ready to put in some number of hours of work as per the wage rate only up to a certain limit. And this direct relation between number of hours of work and the wage rate per hour is directly proportional only up to a certain limit. And after that, what? It will be backward bending. And the reasons were, a human being prefers leisure and rest for work. Initially, you are ready to put in more and more hours of your work to earn more and more money. But what happens? A point comes when you have gained experience, you have earned sufficient income, and the market wage rate goes up. That time, you will not prefer to sacrifice your holidays and work. You will say, no, I want to rest. And that is the time when the supply graph will be backward sloping. If you want to understand this diagram, you can assume that if per hour rate is 100, 100 rupees per hour, when the person is working for 4 hours, he will earn 400. When he puts in 8 hours, he will earn 800. When he works for 12 hours, which is the maximum, he will earn 1200. But once the wage rate becomes 200 rupees per hour, you don't need to work 12 hours now. The person will work only for 8 hours. 8 hours. And 8 twos are 8 into 200. How much? 1600. So the person at 100 rupees per hour was putting 12 hours and earning 1200. Now he is putting only 8 hours and still earning 1600. You know why? Because the wage rate has gone up and he prefers to save those 4 hours of leisure and rest. So this is where the law of supply does not prove to be valid. The next concept is, after understanding the direct relation and agreeing that yes, price influences the seller's ability and willingness to supply, we have to know that who decides this price. Price, of course, is determined by the market, and there is one price which is called as reservation price. Reservation price is the price below which the seller will not be able to sell the commodity. And this price is decided by the seller himself. This price is kept in such a way or is decided to that level where minimum profit margin is covered. This you will always find in case of bargaining. And many a times the seller will not be ready to give you at the price you are bargaining for, because he says this much even we don't get the product. That means each seller has a reservation price. They will never be ready and willing to sell below the reservation price. Now this reservation price is decided by the seller and it depends on all these conditions. First, seller's need for liquid cash. If the seller wants fast money, they will always prefer to keep the reservation price very low, so that they can sell fast and get the money faster. Durability of the commodity. If the seller is selling some perishable products like fruits, vegetables, they cannot keep a very high reservation price, which is too high for the customers, and wait whole day with ample of stock unsold. If they are not able to sell it, what happens? They will have to face a loss. You'll always find a wide fluctuation in this price at the early morning when the vegetables are very fresh, and by late evening the prices come down. So reservation price changes according to the nature of product. Seller's expectation about future price changes. If the seller expects that the prices are going to rise, they will always keep the reservation price higher. This happens in case of housing loan rates. When they know that the prices are, the loan rates are high, they are going to be even higher, they will increase the home loan rate and tell the customer that, see, the market rate has already gone up, but we are still giving you below that. It may be 0.25 and whatever, but they are aware that the rates are going to increase in the future. The next variable is cost of storage. If significant, price would be low as seller would not like to incur a high cost for long. Storage cost, warehouse cost. So these are all the factors which determine the supply, the reservation price relationship. Okay. So now we will understand it through this simple diagrams. The difference between variation in supply and changes in supply. As you can see, students, here I have written a letter P. This means that price is the only factor which may vary supply, either in the form of expansion or contraction. Price, whenever price changes, it will vary the supply in expansion and contraction form. Let us understand what is this. In expansion, what happens is, when the price increases, the sellers are willing to offer more for sale, to offer more stock for supply. So an increase in price is also extending the supply. So we say supply has expanded. So there will be only one graph you need. The same supply graph, you can show an expansion in supply. As you can see the arrow A to B. So A to B is indicating an expansion in supply due to increase in price. Look at this diagram. Here the price has come down. So when the prices fall, the sellers are demotivated to supply more. So they also contract the supply. And the supply is shifting from C to B. So fall in price and there is a fall in supply, which will be called as contraction in supply. Rise in price is going to increase the, or we can say rise the flow of supply. So we have to use the word expansion. We have to be very clear when to use the word expansion, increase, contraction, decrease. So seller's willingness is totally depending on price, which is called as variation in supply. Let us look at the other concept, changes. In changes, I have encircled a word other. This means other determinants of supply. Do you remember the determinants of supply which we have just done in the second or third slide? Technology, cost of production. So any other factor, price has to be frozen here. We freeze price now and we, whatever we had assumed in our other things being equal, that assumption we remove. And we assume that if price is ignored, then what role the other factors have on supply? Here we require a new supply curve. We cannot show the increase and decrease on the same supply curve. So as you see, the price is constant, but the supply is moving ahead or backward. So when the supply is shifting to the right, you see A to B, we call it as increase in supply. And in that diagram, when the supply is shifting to the left, there is a left side shift A to C, we call it as decrease. So I want you all to remember that when we discuss about variation in supply, other factors have to be kept frozen, other things being constant, and we only try to understand the impact of price of the same commodity on the supply of the same commodity. So when you are discussing about rising price of corn, and if the farmers are ready to supply more and more corn, then we say supply of corn is extending because of rise in price of corn. If the price of wheat is falling, the sellers are not, farmers will contract the supply of wheat. You are getting this clear? When you talk of increase and decrease, it may be due to any other factor except price. So now price is frozen in this case. So when a company has introduced a new technology, they are able to increase the supply in volumes. So there will be a new supply curve generated from the company. Supply of four-wheelers, supply of two-wheelers, or supply of any electronic product. So here we are basically looking at shifting of resources. Shifting of resources leading to increase in supply or decrease in supply. Here the sellers have the stock, but their willingness will depend on how much the market prices are fluctuating. So this covers our concept of changes and variation in supply. So now we move on to the next concept, elasticity of supply. It is exactly the same which you have just studied in elasticity of demand. Only thing is that in demand we are studying responsiveness of consumer, in supply we are studying responsiveness of seller. So we say elasticity of supply is the degree of responsiveness of quantity supplied of X, X being a commodity, to a change in price of X. So here percentage change in supply divided by percentage change in price. X is the product. Same thing. Only thing is in demand we take percentage change in the quantity demanded of X. Whereas here we take percentage change in quantity supplied of X. Like that, we also get five types of elasticity of supply. Unitary elastic supply. Here, you will find that when the change in price brings the same proportionate change in supply, it is a case of unitary elastic supply. So, 1% market prices increase, sellers will increase the supply by 1% only. Relatively inelastic supply. Here, the sellers are not having the ability to supply more even if prices are rising. So this is a very difficult concept, because we sometimes think seller is having the whole control over production. Why can't a seller supply more? Why is he not capable of selling more? This may be a little connected with I was talking about backward supply curve of labor. Even if the prices are rising, they may not be in a situation to supply more of their services. So that may be a case of relatively inelastic supply. Now, if you remember when the airlines were on strike, Kingfisher and Air India pilots, other pilots were requested to come and run fly the planes, but they were not willing. That is an example of relatively inelastic supply. Beyond a capacity, you are not in a position to supply more of your services. So that all comes under relatively inelastic supply. Mostly related with professionals who are giving their number of hours for providing the services to the customers. It may also be an example of farmers not in a capacity or in a position to supply more of the agricultural output because of bad monsoon. That all comes under relatively inelastic supply. Majority of our seasonal products come under this category. Relatively elastic supply is where our sellers are always willing and able to supply more and more when the prices increase. The boom in the real estate market, construction, it's a relatively elastic supply. More and more supply with rising prices. Similarly, more of the electronic durable goods come in this category, where a given increase in price, majority of the sellers enter into that business and increase the market supply. Perfectly inelastic supply is where the sellers are not at all in a position to increase the supply even by a fraction. We are here talking an example of all those original tracks which have been sung by the singers who are no more with us today. So when we talk about tracks of Michael Jackson, and when we talk about paintings by a famous artist, I'm sure we cannot get them again. Those live tracks cannot be recorded again. That is a case of perfectly inelastic supply. Sometimes you may find that even a creative artist who has made a sculpture cannot again make it. That becomes it, you call it as a unique piece. It's just one. It's an example of perfectly inelastic supply. Perfectly elastic supply. You can keep on copying that. So a original track and many CDs can be made of that. That is perfectly elastic supply. These are all the diagrams for you to understand how the elasticity's slope will vary. Unitary elastic supply, straight positive slope, 45 degree line. Relatively inelastic supply, you can see the it's very steep, indicating change in price is greater, change in price is more, but the change in supply is less. Relatively elastic, opposite, change in price is less, but the change in quantity supplied is more. As I said, perfectly inelastic supply, fixed. Supply cannot be increased. And you can keep on making n number of CDs from the original track, a copy of that, which will be a horizontal supply curve. Students, you can understand that this is exactly the same as you studied the elasticity of demand. But the only difference is here the slope is positive and there the slope was negative. But the case of perfectly elastic and perfectly inelastic is mostly the same. Now we come to the last part of this chapter where I had discussed about time element in determinants. And Marshall said the ability of the seller or the elasticity of supply has got lot of, to do with time element. If you see here, demand reacts to price change immediately, but he believes that supply takes more time to adjust. It is very easy to adjust demand to price, but it is not that easy to adjust supply to price because supply is a time bound program. So depending upon the period of time, supply can either adjust fully or either in part. And this has been classified into four categories by Marshall. Very short period. He believes that here supply cannot adjust to the change in demand. Even if the demand is picking up, you cannot immediately increase the stock. Sellers are not in a position to increase beyond the stock. Because the consumers are not giving the time to the sellers to buy the stock of products and then increase the supply. Perishable products come under very short period. Short period mein the time gap is little more, where it is possible to somewhere adjust the supply, borrow it from some other like banks. If a bank is running deficit of money, then it has a facility called call money market, borrowing loans from other banks. And in the meantime, it can adjust. That is an example of short period, increasing the supply of money as per the demand of customers. But immediately if the customer says, I really want the money right now, the banks will say, you have to give us a time. There is a limit to how much you can withdraw per day. That is because of the availability of supply with short run, or short period and very short period. The very short and short period are those where the supply becomes relatively inelastic. But when you discuss about long period and very long period, it means that supply can be increased to meet the demand because there is enough of time for the company to utilize its resources for increasing the production of goods. So, here, I would request you all to concentrate on what J.M. Keynes has said. He has criticized Marshall's fourth time period, which is called as very long period. He believes that you cannot make plans for 10 or 20 years down the line because people are all dead. Dead means we become insensitive to the market. So, with this, we have completed this chapter on supply, and you can understand this that we started with what supply is, what are the determinants of supply, and what is elasticity of supply related to time element. Thank you.